All right, before we have our preacher come up and his family are going to sing in just a second, but is there anyone here this morning that needs a Bible? If you came in today without a Bible, maybe you're visiting, we'd like you to be able to follow along with us. So we have some Bibles here for our guests. All right, anyone else? Okay. All right. Well, it really is a blessing to have Brother David Spurgeon with us. He's not a stranger to our church. It's good having him here. We had a great time last year when he was with us for a week. And so all week long, in case you came in late and have been away for the last 3 months, all week long we're going to be having a Bible conference. So I hope you'll be able to make it out, not just this morning, but other times during the week. Come all week if you can. Sunday morning. Tonight we're going to meet again at 6 o'clock. 6 o'clock right here tonight. This is the right place to be, right? Amen? Amen? This is the place to be tonight, 6 o'clock right here. So I hope you'll be here tonight. The preacher will be here. We'll be having another service tonight and then all week long. And so at this time, Brother Dave, if you will.
Amen. All right, ladies. Praise the Lord. Thank you, preacher. Amen. All right. We'll preach a little bit, but before we do, we'll try to sing. Amen. I'll tell you what, we've had good singing here already. I've heard better preaching from the song leader here than some churches I go to. Amen. And we could have had an invitation after some of the things Brother Pat said, and probably would have made for a better service we've got right with God already. Just based over why we're here. We're here for Him. Right. Amen. And He's worthy of that. And it's a joy to be here for Him. And so anyway, let me introduce my family. This is my wife, Susan, and my daughter, Evie. And my name is Dave Spurgeon. I'm an evangelist from Ohio. And it is a privilege to be here. Amen. And I'm glad you're here. Now we can get the Lord here. Amen. I believe He's already here, but we just don't want to run Him off now. Amen. So we'll try to sing and then preach a little bit. Would that be all right?
Amen.
All right, all right. This one first?
Yes.
Try to tell me. Who is this for? Patterson coming this week? What? Oh, no, I'm kidding. Amen. All right. Tomatoes at us, we'll sing another. Amen. Yeah, you got to watch. Amen. All right. When you get a relationship with Jesus Christ, there'll be a change. Now, you can get religion all day long, all week long, and there'll be no change. But Christ changed something in me. I didn't get religion. I didn't turn over a new leaf. I didn't go straight. I spent 15 years as a drunkard and a drug addict in motorcycle gangs, and I'm ashamed of that. But the reason I say it is to bring honor and glory to the one that changed me. That's why I'm here this morning. That's why I go to church. Amen. That's why I read my Bible. Because the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings has been mentioned and lifted up already this morning. Hey, he made a difference in me. Amen. He didn't make a wimp out of me. He didn't require my manhood. I tell you what he did. He made a man out of me. Amen. And now I got nothing better to do than to give him the rest of my life, trying to explain to him that I'm grateful. Amen. That just makes sense to me. Amen. Amen. Somebody said, Brother Spurgeon, you sound like one of them fanatics. I am not a fanatic. That is my goal, though. Amen. I spent 15 years running around in motorcycle gangs with colors on my back and tattooed all that because I wasn't ashamed to let people know what I liked and what I loved and what I wanted to do. And my Bible says, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Amen. Boy, and if some of us weren't ashamed of what we were before, why would you be ashamed of what Jesus Christ done for you? Amen. That don't seem right. Amen. Amen. I'm not preaching yet. That's just what happened when I stepped behind the pulpit. Good morning. Man, praise the Lord. I'm glad to be saved and in church, but I'm glad to be in this church. And I'm glad you're here this morning. Open your Bibles. Matthew 14 and verse 22. We'll get it. We'll get it somewhere. Amen. Matthew chapter 14 this morning, and we'll begin reading in verse 22. I'll give you a second. Turn there. Get seated and things like that. I'm in no rush. Amen. I hope you're not. I got one. Amen. That's good. I'm trying to set you up anyway. Amen. Matthew chapter 14 this morning in verse 22. And the Word of God says this. And straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship and to go before him unto the other side while he sent the multitudes away. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, He was there alone. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. I know some people that are like that. I know some people that are just contrary. Amen. You wouldn't know anybody like that, would you? Verse 25, and in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them walking on the sea. Say, Brother Burton, you really believe Jesus walked on water? Absolutely. Why? Because the Bible says so. It's just that simple for me. Amen. I don't need science. I don't need proof. I just need what God said. Say, why do you believe that it's just like he said? Because one day, 17 and a half years ago, I bowed my knee and confessed with my tongue that Jesus was Lord. And that book says if a person will do that, it'll change their heart. I did that. It changed my heart. I'm from the old school. If something works, don't mess with it. I know the Word of God's true because I did what it said, and it did what it said it'd do. That's all I need. Verse 26, did I read that one? We'll go on. Yeah, we'll read down again. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, it is a spirit, and they cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water. And he said, come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. Amen. The Lord wasn't the only one that walked on the water. Say, do you really believe Peter did? Absolutely. Why? Because the Bible says so. We make it so difficult. It's really that simple. Amen. Amen. Every time I do that, though, I lose my place. All right. Verse 30. But now it's Peter. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried, saying, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? And when they were coming to the ship, the wind ceased. Then they that were in the ship came and worshipped him, saying, of a truth, thou art the Son of God. Father in heaven, we do come before you in the magnificent, majestic name of the Lord Jesus Christ. That name that is above every name. Lord God, we worship you this morning, and we thank you for the Spirit of truth. We pray and ask, Lord God, that you'd bless the message. We pray that you'd prepare hearts. We pray, God, for the reception of the Word of God. Lord, by the hearers this morning, may it be simple and easy to get the truth out of this simple message. Father, I'll thank you for that. Lord, I'll do no good for anyone today, unless you see fit to move in our midst. I confess that and ask you to feel welcome here. And not just in our church house, not just that you might feel welcome to walk up and down the aisles this morning, but I pray that you might be welcome in the corridors of our very heart this morning. Lord God, Father, we love you. We can't worship you enough. We can't sing about you enough. And Lord God, for the next few minutes, may we dedicate our attention to that thing that you've called preaching, that thing that you've called the power of God. Father, please, minister to hearts as necessary, meet those needs, and most of all, Lord, there's one in here today that doesn't know you, the Lord Jesus Christ, as his own or her own personal Savior. If they were to die in their sin today, they'd go to that place that you went to the cross to keep them out of. I pray that today would be the day of their salvation. May you be pleased with us. And we ask all these things in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. You got a lot going on there. Amen. Peter, he got out of the boat and walked toward the water, walked toward the Lord on the water. You don't have any of the other disciples saying a word. Amen. When the Lord spoke to him, they didn't say, me too. Me too. They didn't get on that bandwagon. They said, let that old fool Peter go out there and walk on the water. And even after he got out there, You don't hear anything mentioned by any of them. But before it's all said and done, the passage records they worshipped him and said of a truth, thou art the Son of God. Boy, they got that part right, because that's who he is. He is definitely the Son of God. Amen. Now, Peter stepped out by faith. I don't know about you. Actually, I do know about you if you're saved. The Bible says, for by grace he is saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works. Contrary to what millions of Americans think this morning, as they're in services all across our nation that believe that it is of works, the Bible said it's not of works. For a very simple reason, that any man should boast. Boy, if we could clean up our act enough, if we could get smart enough, if we could get good enough to get into God's heaven, the Lord knows that when we got there, we'd be comparing notes and bragging on ourselves. Nobody's going to get there outside of the grace of God. And if you're saved and you get there, you'll be bragging on him. And that's what he wants. And that's what he deserves. I tell you, some of you, you do well to start practicing now. That is bragging on Jesus because he's worthy. He likes it. Amen? Amen. Worked for me. Amen. Peter stepped out by faith. I think it's great. Amen. I got on this Christian walk by faith. But I got off track once or twice. And the reason for my failure and Peter's and perhaps yours is indicated in the passage. The Bible says, but he saw the wind boisterous. In other words, when he had his eye on the Lord, he did great. Walked right on that water. But when he got his eyes on the circumstances around him, the book said he was afraid. He was afraid. He did the right thing, though. He did the right thing. It says this. It says in verse 30, he cried. It said, beginning to sink. Beginning to sink. Let me say that. Let me say something about that right now. He can't actually been a member of the crowd I run with, because he cried out for help when he was beginning to sink. This guy was a fisherman. This guy was on his home waters. This guy was familiar with the Sea of Galilee. And he's walking on the water by faith, heading toward the Lord. But that Bible records, when he was beginning to sink, in other words, when his ankles got wet, he realized there's a problem. He realized he wasn't walking on the water anymore. He was sinking. And you know what he did? The Bible records that he cried out. Boy, I'll tell you what, there's folks I know, there's folks I preach to. Matter of fact, if the truth be known, I've been guilty of this myself in the years that I've been saved. I tell you what, some of us have to, some of us don't cry out to help and for help until we're going down for the third time. So we've gulped down a gallon of seawater and stressed out our wives or husbands or children or parents or family. And then when we realize that there's nothing we can do, then we'll do what Peter did when he was beginning to sink. We need to follow his example. He said, Lord, save me. This wasn't a plea for salvation. This was a plea to save his life. The Bible records this in verse 31. Immediately. I don't know what the Greek says or the Hebrew. I could care less. But I know what the English says. Amen. They said, do you know any Greek? Yes. There's a little guy in Detroit. He has a diner. That's all the Greek I know. There's probably a few in New York. I'd like to go to their diner too. Amen. My Bible says immediately. And it means what it says. Amen. That book says, and immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? Just between me and you, I can see perfectly well why Peter was afraid. Amen. Got his eyes off the Lord. He's sinking. He's out in the middle of the Sea of Galilee in a storm. Amen. Notice the wind didn't cease until they were both safely back in the boat. It was crazy out there. And the Lord rebuked him. I don't think he minded. I think he was so glad to be safe in the arms of Jesus that the Lord could have told him anything. I tell you what, it's amazing to me that sometimes the Lord rescues his children in messes they've made when they got their eyes off of him just as remarkably as he did Peter. But when the rebuke comes from the Word of God or the preaching of the Word of God, they get offended. Peter didn't get offended. He was just glad to be saved. Amen? We had a couple of amens on that one. I'll take it. That's good enough for me. Here's what I want you to see. When Peter was walking on the water toward the Lord, the Bible doesn't give us a clear picture of how far apart they were. I don't know how far away the Lord was, but it does say that Peter cried. He cried out. Amen. He was afraid. In other words, he wasn't within lunging distance. He was a good distance away. So with that being said, the Bible does record that immediately Jesus caught him. I don't know how far apart they were when Peter cried, but I know this, the Lord was within arm's reach of him. Peter, it might have seemed like a distance to Peter, enough that he was afraid and fearful and cried out, Lord, save me. But for the Lord, it was nothing to be right there. So I want to preach to you this morning on this thought, within arm's reach. Let me give you a few things that are within arm's reach of every one of us this morning. Amen. Number one would be sin. Sin is within arm's reach, everybody in here. If you're saved, I'm glad you're saved. Your name's written in the book of life. When this thing's all said and done, and it's going to be all said and done one day. Amen. You'll end up in heaven. But boy, between now and then, I'm serving you warning again today that sin is within arm's reach of you no matter how long you've been saved, no matter what you've accomplished. Let me put it like this. We know from the Bible that God is no respecter of persons. It's a good thing because some of us would have never made it, myself included. God's no respecter of persons and neither is death. The Bible says, and as it is appointed unto man once to die. And we've got an appointment with death, and death's no respecter of persons. We know the devil's not a respecter of persons. The Lord himself recorded that Satan desired to sift Peter as wheat. And Peter was a pretty spiritual fellow. Amen? And if the devil wasn't impressed by him, you ought not get the idea he's impressed with you. Like the preacher already said, like the songman already said, what you got going for you this morning is him. Devil's no respecter of persons. And neither is sin. Neither is sin. Let's go to Genesis chapter 4. Genesis chapter 4. And let me talk to you this morning for a few minutes about sin. Within arm's reach, everybody in here. Here's the third human being. The third human being, his name's Cain. And the Lord was specific and told him and his brother Abel just exactly what to do, what would please him, what would be acceptable to him. And him, like us, decided he was going to do it different. That's just how it is. That's just how it is. And it says this in verse 7, the Lord speaking to Cain, if thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted. And if thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door. Sin lieth at the door. Let me say to you, beloved, this morning that sin is within arm's reach. The Bible records it lieth at the door. Let me illustrate this like this. I got saved in jail. Some of you know that. And God gave me a burden to go back to the jails. Back to jails and penitentiaries and juvenile detention centers. And I did that for many years before I started in evangelism full time. Still do that more than a few times a year. And what I found out about working the jail ministry is that sin lies at the door of the jailhouse. In other words, I've seen guys get saved. I've seen guys grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord. I've seen guys bring others to the saving knowledge of Christ and do well and promise to get in church when they get out of jail. Every one of them promises that. But few make it. Few do. It's discouraging. Amen. But here's what you find out. A lot of times, sin lies at the door of the jailhouse. A guy who's living for God in those situations, when he gets out, get picked up by an old friend with a bag of dope or a bottle of liquor or a girlfriend, and on Friday night, by Sunday morning, has committed enough sin, he's ashamed to come to church. The devil can keep you out of church. He can get you back, even if you're saved. He'll destroy your testimony. Sin lieth at the door. We had a guy that, man, I tell you what, his testimony was better than mine. He was growing. He was winning guys to the Lord. He promised to come. He got out and he didn't come. That's exactly what happened. Girlfriend picked him up, partied a little bit on Saturday, felt so guilty and bad by Sunday, didn't come to church, didn't call any of us. I mean, he promised over a period of 6 months he was going to be there. And he didn't come. What he didn't understand is we ought to be a little more compassionate with that than that with people. We ought to understand. He didn't understand. He felt bad. We should understand when a new Christian struggles, shouldn't we? I mean, haven't we all been there? He didn't come the next week. He didn't come the next week. We couldn't find him. We couldn't track him down. We had his mother's phone number, and he wasn't in contact with her. He just got back out there to living the way he used to live when he got in trouble. Alan continued to go to the jails, and one night after about a month, he was there again. Here he came over to the bars. I'm walking the catwalks of a county jail in Ohio, and he comes up to the bars, and he, Brother Spurgeon, I'm so sorry, I apologize. You'll never believe what happened. And he told me the story, and that's exactly how it goes. I said, you know, you got a little parole violation here. You'll be out in a couple months. Just live for God. We'll give you the Bible studies. Continue to come to church and win them to Jesus while you're here. I'll do it. He is sincere. He was a man. He wasn't no wimp. He wasn't ashamed to live for Christ. His outdate came again. He didn't show up at church. He didn't show up. I knew what happened. Same thing happened. I tried to find him. I couldn't find him. A month later, he's back in jail. Only this time when I go, he's not coming to the bars. This time, he's not getting in on the service. This time, he's staying all the other end of the range, trying to not be noticed. I noticed him. And I called his name. I said, hey, come here, man. He was hoping I wouldn't see him. I said, come here, man. Let me talk to you. And he came across. He came across by all those prisoners that he'd lived for God before, that were noticing that on this day he's not even trying to make it to the church service. Preacher had to call him out. He got over there toward me and tears started welling up in his eyes. He said, Brother Burton, I'm sorry. I said, hold it, man. Stop right there. You don't have to apologize to me. You need to get a hold of this thing right here. I said, you might as well resign yourself to spending a lot of time behind bars. And man, he said, tears came then. He said, Brother, how can you say that? I said, because what you're proving to God is the only place you're going to live for Him, the only place you're going to read His Bible, the only place you're going to pray, the only place you're going to testify and witness is when you're in trouble. And I think God likes to hear from you. And God likes for you to read His book. And God likes for you to witness. And if the only place you're going to do it's in here, why should He let you out? It's a crying shame, but a truth that sometimes only in the valley, only in the trouble, is the place where we'll draw nigh to God. Sin lieth at the door of the jailhouse. Don't make God keep trouble in your life just so you'll communicate with Him. You better learn to praise Him and worship Him and pray to Him and talk about Him when things are going good. Maybe things would stay good a little longer. But the jailhouse isn't the only place sin lieth at the door. Sin's within arm's reach of you at your house. It's getting scary out there. Amen. Listen, I grew up in northern Ohio. There's a time when I was 13, 14, I'd grab a .22 rifle and a big old farm dog and head out in the woods in the summertime, be gone all day. My mom never gave it a thought. Amen, I had to be home up by dark. But these days, I don't let my kids out of my sight. Amen. Anywhere, in a store, let alone in a neighborhood or out in the country, times have changed and not for the better. It's getting scary out there. Amen. I tell you what, we better be careful. Listen, vile language, man, isn't that a grief to you if you're saved? Isn't that a grief to you? We were at an airport flying out to Los Angeles last year, and here's a guy sitting there with his laptop computer waiting on the same plane we were, and he's got a suit on, he's a businessman, he's clean cut, and you know, you'd think, you know, he had something about him, something going for him. And he's working on his computer, and he got on his cell phone, and he started talking to his secretary, and man, this guy started cussing like a sailor. I mean, it was unbelievable. It was uncharacteristic. You see a guy dressed up in a suit, and he's just talking like worse than we used to talk in the bars when I was a dope head. That's becoming the norm. That's the way it is out there. Amen. I was out here in Long Island after preaching Brother Costa one night and went to 7-Eleven on the way back to my campground. And we'd had a good meeting. And I grabbed a handful of tracks and went over there and tried to give them out to some teenagers. Sitting outside on the curb, walked over to this boy, started handing to him, a 17-year-old girl, 16, 17-year-old girl. He didn't say nothing. He reached his hand out. The girl says, "What the blankety blank is that all about?" And I thought, you know, I had three precious teenage daughters at the time. And I think, man, I'll tell you what, if I turn them loose to this world, that's the way they'd be talking. It's scary. It ain't like it was back in the 60s, amen, and the 70s. Sin lies at the door. You got to be careful. Listen, Charles Spurgeon and D.L. Moody and those guys, amen, their kids didn't have to face what our kids face. Their kids didn't have the crowd out there, the predators. Their kids didn't have to deal with pornographic billboards. Their kids didn't have to deal with some of the stuff. It's a scary time to be a young person. Sin lies at the door. That makes our responsibility as parents even greater, doesn't it? But turn your Bibles to Psalm 101, and let me say to you that sin lies at the on both sides of the door to your house. Not just out there. Yeah, it's wicked out there. Yeah, it's getting worse all the time. And it is. It is. The Lord said it would, so it shouldn't come as any surprise to anybody that reads their Bible. The gas prices and the earthquakes and the war and the rumors of war and all that stuff, it just indicates to me that we're getting close. When Ahmadinejad, on the 60th anniversary of Israel's founding of a nation, gets on national television and says that Israel doomed and their annihilation draweth nigh. Amen. Just tells me we're getting close, beloved. People start talking like that. I think, well, that dummy read the Bible. He quit talking like that. Annihilation's drawing near, and it's his. Amen. But Psalm 101 says this, it's wicked out there, and sin lies at the door of the jailhouse and your house, but I better say this to you this morning. Sin lieth on both sides of the door to your house, if you're not careful. It says this, verse 2, Psalm 101. I will behave myself wisely in a perfect way. Boy, if we get a hold of that, we do better. Wisely. Wisely. Wisdom comes from God. The Bible says the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. If you got no fear of God, you don't even have a shot at behaving yourself wisely. Amen. I will behave myself wisely in a perfect way. Oh, when wilt thou come unto me? I will walk, look what it says, within my house in a perfect way. I'll tell you what, every once in a while, we'll be at a laundromat. That seems to be the place where the television will be blaring. I'll take and drop my wife off. The talk shows, they'll be parading every variety of pervert and adulterer and obscene, abominable lifestyle, parading it day in and day out on the televisions across America. And I tell you what, if you feast on that garbage regularly, you'll get the idea that all that's normal. Amen.
You'll get to thinking that soap operas, amen, adultery and all that stuff, that's common. And people devour that stuff day in and day out, and no marvel our country's in the shape that it's in as far as marriages, even some too many Christian marriages. I'll tell you why. It's like that. We're not behaving ourselves wisely in our own house. I'm going to tell you what, ain't nobody in here. If I was to ask you straight up, would you let a drunken, high, blaspheming fornicator in your living room to fellowship with you and your children? Nobody in here would say, yeah. And then you pick up that stinking remote and you press power, and that's exactly what you let into your house way too often. On your way to surf over to the History Channel. You need to understand you got a responsibility about what you allow into your house. And I'll tell you what, that internet, that thing is called a web for a reason. This book says in verse 3, in the same psalm, I will set no wicked thing before mine eyes. Amen. No, in the original English, means no. This is deep preaching. I know. Amen. It says, I hate the work of them that turn aside. It shall not cleave unto me. Run that word cleave through your Bible, and here's what you'll find. It means it'll stick to ya. One click. Or the mouse, and you can have something on that screen that will not go away when you punch the X. You hear what I just said? You better be careful of that thing. I didn't say you better be careful of what you let your kids see. You better be careful of what you let you see if you're a Christian. I mean, testimonies of faithful Christians. Testimonies of some preachers have gone right down the toilet because of what they did and what they thought was the privacy of their own home. What a shame. Sin is within arm's reach of everybody in here. No matter how long you've been saved, no matter what victories you've got, no matter how many times you've preached on the street or handed out tracts, you let your guard down. That book says your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Peter wrote that to you and I, beloved. Be sober. Be vigilant. Sin lieth at the door of the jailhouse. Sin lieth at the door of your house, both sides. You got to be careful about out there. You got to be careful at home. Because we got the capability to bring that world right in. Sin lies at the door of the church house. I've seen people that are saved, love God, get at aught with a brother, start running their mouth, get mad at the preacher, start tearing him down, and head out that door and never get that thing right like the Bible says. You're cruising for bruising out there when that happens. You leave the church wrong, and God will judge that thing. And it's a crying shame today that I could give you a list of people that left the church out wrong. And I've even had to minister to some of their kids in juvenile. Oh, they're still saved. The ones that are still married. The ones that are still in church, some of them are not in churches that even believe that book anymore. There's a danger with the leaving the church wrong. That's why it's addressed. Amen? Sad enough that I've heard testimony of young people that grew up in a Christian home, but their heart's not facing, not toward God anymore. And I've asked them, and I've heard it said to me, I smoked my first cigarette or first joint out in the parking lot of the church with another Christian late at night, unsupervised, after a conference, or drank the first beer. Or did let your imagination I'm careful about who I let my girls hang around with. I feel a great responsibility for my children. Say, we went to a place, wasn't it? They said, Brother Spurgeon, you and your wife, we're going to have them stay at this house, and your girls we're going to put over here with this good Christian family, and then your boy, this is before we had a motorhome, and your boy, he's going to, and I said, no. Those children are my responsibility. I'm not farming them out. I'm not letting them go. But they're good, yeah, but I don't know about Uncle Harold, you know, or whoever might stop by. I'm jealous over my kids. I'm responsible to God for them. I don't want them to get involved in something because I let my guard down. Sin lieth at the door. Sin's no respecter of persons. Sin is within arm's reach of everybody in here this morning. Just the truth to remind you of. You know that, don't you? I'll tell you the good news, though, is even though sin's within arm's reach, So is the Savior. That's what the passage illustrated for us. He was within arm's reach for Peter when he needed him. Maybe I'll preach a message sometime on us being within arm's reach of him when he needs us. Maybe that'll be later in a week. I won't tell you what day, so you don't know what day to not be here. But let me say this. The Savior's within arm's reach. Everybody in here today. That ought to be a marvelous thought to meditate on. Amen. There's a lady in Matthew 15. Her daughter was vexed with the devil. I think I know that lady. It says, then came she and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. You know what the end of that story was? The Lord did. She cried out with an honest heart, worshiping. What does that mean? She really believed he could do it. She really believed he was who he said he was. He is who he says he is. And he is the one to help. And he is the one to cry out for. And he healed that lady's daughter. He's been in arm's reach. Bible says in Psalm 46, God is our refuge and strength. A very present help in trouble. Very present. What does that mean? No appointment necessary. No lines to wait in. I'm never on vacation. No answering machine. The Lord's a very present help in trouble. Amen. There's help for any problem you got within arm's reach this morning. Psalm 121 says this, my help cometh from the Lord. My help cometh from the Lord. Boy, that'd be true if it stopped right there, but it doesn't stop right there. It says this, which made heaven and earth. Amen. It's like saying, listen, dummy, that's how God talked to me. I don't know how he talked to you. He just talked to me like that. Hey, look, dummy, I made, your help is from me. And then he adds this, I made heaven and earth. What problem is it that you got that I can't handle? And that's the way it is for you and I. Man, I'm telling you what, we live in a sin-cursed world. We're born into sin. Amen. We've been delivered by the blood of the cross from the penalty of sin. I'll be glad when we're delivered from the presence of sin. But boy, till then, we've got a Savior within arm's reach. If we just call on Him, if we just cry out to Him like Peter did, man, He'll be there. He said, I'll never leave thee, nor forsake thee. That's a good thing to know when discouragement sets in. Amen. It does sometimes. I don't know. Am I the only one here that ever gets discouraged? Amen. I mean, I don't take pills for it. It's not a big deal. But, man, once in a while, it just seems like you're beating your head against the wall. Am I the only one that ever experiences that? Nod your head if you're awake. Somebody do something. I'll take that. The Bible says in Jeremiah 33 and verse 3, call unto me and I will answer thee. And show thee great and mighty things, which thou knowest not. Boy, about the time when you're trying to figure out whether or not it's worth it to live as a Christian, you call on God. You let Him do something great and mighty. That'll cheer you up. Which thou knowest not. Boy, He can do things nobody else can do. I don't know about you. That keeps me, you know. That keeps me going. Amen. When the sin of this world we're in, like preacher said yesterday, we're not supposed to be of it, but we're sure enough in it. And when the sin of this world that we're in gets in, and it does sometimes, doesn't it? Savior's within arm's reach. That book says, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. It doesn't say if we have any sins, because we do. But boy, I tell you what, we got a Savior that's faithful and just when we're not. Amen? That'll forgive us, that'll help us. And like I say, if you really get your help from the Lord, you won't mind a real little rebuke. Amen. You won't mind, well, you know, I told you, when the Spirit of God says, hey, dummy, you've been listening to preachers, you've been reading your Bible, what are you going down that road for? You just say, God, because I'm a dummy. But would you forgive me? He'll say, okay. I like that. That's the way it works. Amen. That's not how I think it works. That's how it works. And the cares of this life start to overwhelm, and sometimes they do. Take heart. The Lord said in Hebrews 13, I will never leave thee, nor forsake thee. Boy, I tell you what, sin's real, but so is he. And sin's within arm's reach, and we need to be sober and be vigilant, but boy, we need to take heart. We've got a Savior that'll never leave. Within arm's reach this morning, sin. Within arm's reach this morning, the Savior. Praise the Lord. Here's something else. Within arm's reach this morning is sinners. Sinners. Plenty of sinners. You don't have to look far. People say, oh, I'd just like to do something for God. Well, that shouldn't be hard. He told the maniac Gadara, go home to thy friends and tell them what great things the Lord hath done unto thee and hath had compassion on thee. Man, there's plenty of work to do. Amen. Especially around here. Amen. There's sinners everywhere. Actually, there's sinners everywhere. Everywhere. There's some on your street. There's somebody you can find to tell, to demonstrate, witness to about the amazing grace of the Lord. There's some in your family. We take prayer requests every week in a church somewhere, and somebody's asking for prayer for a loved one that's not saved. Hey, that's probably why you're saved. Because somebody asked prayer for you before you were. Amen. There's plenty of sinners. There's somewhere you work. They're everywhere. Turn to 2 Corinthians 4. And let's look in verse 3. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. And let's look in verse 3. And it says this. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. In whom the God of this world, notice that small g, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. You're saved here this morning. It's because the glorious gospel of Christ shined unto you. Amen. It says, if our gospel be hid, it's hid to them that are lost. I preached out, I don't know, 5, 6 years ago in a church just outside Los Angeles. And we had a good meeting. We had some folks saved. It was my first meeting with this preacher. And we were excited. We preached Sunday through Friday like we are here. And got done about 9 o'clock Friday night. And he said, we were all happy on that emotional, spiritual high, you know. He says, Brother Spurgeon, what do you want to do now? And I said, I'd like to load our families up and go down to Sunset Strip at midnight. It was Friday. He looked at me like some people look at me. We got in a big old van like you've got, had some scripture on the side, and we went down there and we drove down Sunset Strip at midnight. You know what we saw? We saw thousands and thousands of sinners standing on the street outside all those clubs that keep making the headlines where all those Hollywood idiots go to. And here they are, folks that work all week and save their money living for the weekend. They think they're living in the fast lane. They think they're having the time of their life. Their whole life is dedicated to those few hours on the weekend night where they're standing there waiting to go in and do what their culture has taught to them is fun. We drove them down and we saw literally thousands of people over the course of the whole drive. Lost without God. Amen. Just like I was. Amen. Some of you God found in a very similar circumstance. No hope without God. And with this mentality, eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we die. Hey, listen, without Jesus Christ, you might as well live that way. If it wasn't for Christ, I didn't turn over a new leaf. I didn't go straight. I didn't get tired of what I was doing. I got saved. Boy, and if this thing's not real, I just go back to the street, go back to the dope, go back to robbing people. If this thing ain't real, that's as good a life as any. But this thing is real. And Christ did rise. And there is hope. Amen. And they need to know. And how are they going to find out? Unless you and I take this thing seriously. Unless you and I live like this thing we call Bible Christianity, the gospel of Christ, unless it's real to us. Amen. There's plenty of work, man. There's plenty of lost folks. You know what I find traveling around the country? I get discouraged with people that all they do is rail on America. I'm an American. I'm an evangelist. I'm called to the American people. If Brother Maurice is called to Haiti, if he hated the Haitian people, he wouldn't be a very effective missionary, would he? I think it's probably important that if you're called to the American people, whether it's a pastor or an evangelist, you ought to love the people. Boy, I love America. I mean, from New York City to Los Angeles to Denver to Miami, we get to be in a different place, a different state, different culture, different people, different opinions, all the time. You know what I find? There's a lot of good people out there. I'm not just talking about in churches. I'm talking about on the highways, in the restaurants, in the truck stops. I'm talking about there's a lot of pretty decent Americans out there. Everybody's not a pervert. Everybody's not a crook. Everybody's not a dopehead. Regardless of what the media would like to convince you of. A lot of good people out there doing the best they can, but the truth remains, without Jesus Christ, good people end up in the lake of fire too. And they need you and I to be a witness. Like I mentioned already, there's millions of Americans in church. And a lot of them don't believe right. A lot of them don't believe it doctrinally correct. Some of them are out left field this morning. Boy, what they're trusting in ain't going to get them anywhere. But you know what? Some of us used to be involved in some of that. So instead of this week standing up and railing on every denomination, I'm just going to lift up Jesus Christ. Because I'll tell you what, if we'll live like He's real, there's folks in all them other denominations that'll get on their face and worship the Savior in spirit and truth if we'd live in spirit and truth. Within arm's reach, man, there's plenty of work. There's plenty of sinners. Amen? And last of all, turn your Bibles to Isaiah 52. Isaiah 52. So within arm's reach this morning, you've got sin. And that's a warning to you Christians. But you've got the Savior. Amen. That ought to help. And then you've got sinners. So there's plenty. There's plenty to do. Amen. There's plenty of motivation to live for God. Because that'll make a difference in somebody you care about. That'll make a difference in somebody maybe you don't even know. I've seen families. I've seen people discouraged over the years. Praying for a loved one, and they never got saved, and they just never had an effectual open door to witness. And finally, my preacher said, "Why don't instead of grieving over them, why don't you go witness to somebody else's family, and then maybe God will send somebody to yours." Amen. Sometimes people that knew you before are the hardest to win. Go witness to somebody that didn't know you before. Then ask God to send the truth and a truthful messenger to your loved one, friend, or coworker. It really does work. Because, see, it's all about Him. And we think it's about us. It's not, hey, God just let us in on this thing. It's still Him. It's all Him. So we got sin and the Savior and sinners. But look in verse 10 of Isaiah 52. The Word of God says this, "The Lord hath made bare His holy arm." The Lord hath made bare His holy arm in the eyes of all the nations. Amen. Now, here's what the Lord's done. I can picture that. Lord's rolling His sleeve up. Lord's rolling His sleeve up, and a man rolls his sleeve up for one of two things. To fight. Who's the Lord going to fight? Or to work. Right? Man rolls his sleeves up to work. That book says, "The Lord hath made bare His holy arm in the eyes of all the nations, and all the ends of the earth shall see the salvation of our God." Within arm's reach this morning is salvation. That book says in Psalm chapter 40, in verse 1, "I waited patiently for the Lord. He inclined unto me and heard my cry. He brought me up also out of an horrible pit, and out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock." If you're in here and you're not saved today, I guarantee you the Lord has got His sleeve rolled up, and He's waiting on you to do what David did, to cry out, say, "Lord, I'm a sinner. Be merciful unto me." Boy, you reach up, Lord, and He'll pull you out too. Salvation is within arm's reach. He made it so simple. I got it. Amen. He made it so simple. You got it. And if you're in here today and you're not saved, He made it simple enough for anybody to get it. Amen. We're not talking about religion. We're talking about salvation. It's within arm's reach. That book says, "Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." It doesn't say, as soon as you get your life right. Amen. I couldn't get my life right. Amen. If you could get your life straightened out so that the Lord would take you, what do you need Him for anyway? It's just that simple to me. That book says, "Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord." You know what that's with an honest heart. "If thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation." And there's people all over God. They got more sense than some of us. They got more Bible than some of us. And it's all right there. And you can have it all right there. And you're not going to get it. You got to have it right there. "Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." I love that verse. I know it's true. But there's a verse also that says, "Whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast in the lake of fire." There you go. There's the choices. The lake of fire was where I was headed and deserved to go. And got honest enough with God one day to admit that. In a jail cell, like, "God, I'm a sinner. You know I'm a sinner. I know I'm a sinner." The preacher said, "Hell's real. And boy, if it is, God, that's where I'm going." But that preacher also told me, like I'm telling you now, Jesus Christ died for your sin. Jesus Christ went to the cross and made a way for your sins to be paid for. He paid a debt you owed with His blood. Where I come from, the gangs I ran with for 15 years, when a person gave his blood, in other words, died for you, you never got over it. That's what Christ did. Christian, don't ever get over it. If you're in here today and you're not a Christian, amen. You may be trying to improve your life. You might be trying to turn over a new leaf. You might be trying to get a fresh start. Praise the Lord for that. I'll pray for you. I'm here to tell you, it can be done. There's victory. But victory over death, hell, and the grave is only through Jesus Christ. And I'll just be honest with you. Victory in this life is only through Jesus Christ, too. The Savior is within arm's reach this morning. If you're not saved, you can cry out. You can pray. We can open a Bible. We can take you to we can do whatever you want. Amen. I'll go on a roof with you. I don't care. Amen. We can go to base. You got a question? Let us answer it from the Bible. Why don't you get your sins forgiven today? Why? Because salvation is within arm's reach. Say, what do you mean? Well, if I was to say, let's bow our heads and close our eyes and say, if you'd like to be saved, raise your hand. That's within arm's reach. It's that simple. You can raise your hand and we'll take somebody and let somebody, a man with a man, a lady with a lady, open a Bible and show you how you can know what God said. Nobody's trying to con you into nothing. Nobody's trying to sell you nothing. Nobody's trying to get you to join a church. Boy, I tell you what. This church exists for an opportunity to open the Bible and show you how you can get your sin forgiven once and for all. That's what it's all about. Simple message this morning. Within arm's reach. He is within arm's reach for Peter. Don't you know he was glad? I'm glad he's been within arm's reach for me. Not just when he saved me, but many times, every time I drive into the city, I'm praying, God, help me, and he does. He's within arm's reach to get right with when you let him down. When the flesh wins. Flesh wins sometimes, doesn't it? It's just your move. Peter cried out, Lord, save me. The Bible says if we confess, it's your move. He's there. He'll help. He's within arm's reach for you. Man, if you got the baggage of sin, leave it here. Leave it here. Amen. He's within arm's reach this morning to help and comfort and encourage in areas only he can. Boy, you don't need a counselor. You don't need a psychiatrist. Amen. You don't need a talk show. You need a dialogue with the Son of God. Amen. That'll do it. I know. Some of you know. Some of you might have needed to be reminded of that today. That's it. That's reality. That's everyday church living in 2008. We need to be reminded. That's why God ordained preaching. So whatever the need is, why don't you let the Lord meet it? The most important need this morning is for you to know, beyond a shadow of a doubt, that your sins are forgiven. Now, many of you do. So the rest of the message is for you. But if you're in here today and you don't know, you wouldn't want to go to hell. Maybe you're even honest enough to admit, yep, if I had to die today, that's where I'd go. Well, that's good. Salvation starts with an honest heart. Amen. You can't get it any other way. You're in here today. Your sins have never been forgiven because you believed in what Christ did on the cross for you. Today's your day. You better get it taken care of. I don't know how many chances you're going to get. I know this. Well, that day in the Montgomery County Jail 17 years ago, boy, I was impressed with this. This is your shot. What are you going to do? What are you going to do? I had a praying mama. She couldn't pray me into the family of God. She could just pray to God to give me another chance. God gave me another chance. He honored her prayers. It was up to me to move. Up to me to do something with it. I don't know. He didn't owe her another chance, or me either. I'm glad I got it. If you don't have it, why don't you make today? Let's stand with heads bowed and eyes closed. Let's all stand if you can and bow your heads for a minute. We're almost done. I'm going to turn it over to the preacher and the song leader and however you do it. That's fine. But you know what? I know this. This was a real simple message. Real simple message, plain English. Amen. Not hard to understand. No deep nothing. Just simple. Just like I got it. Just like God gives it to me on a regular basis. That's the way I need it. So you understand what was being said. Sin's within arm's reach of every one of us. Maybe sin's got in there. Well, what are you going to do? Take it out? Take it with you? Why don't you give it to the Lord today? We got an altar here. Maybe you pray in your seat. I don't know how you do it. But, boy, could I encourage you? bow your heart to God and say, God, forgive me. Forgive me for watching this, saying this, thinking this, doing this. Would you forgive me? Would you help me, God, get victory? And he will. The only holdup is us. He's not. There's no holdup with him. Maybe any of you just need some encouragement. Why don't you pray and ask God for it? Maybe you're in here today and you've watched the preacher announce, we're going to the city, we're going to the neighborhood. You've heard the preacher announce different things that this church is involved with to bring sinners to Christ. And you've just never availed yourself to it. Boy, maybe today you need a purpose in your heart to get in on this thing. Boy, the best thing that can happen to a Christian after getting saved is seeing someone else get saved. And if you don't know that, you need to experience that. It'll change your life. It'll change who you live for. But most of all, head bowed and eyes closed. If you're in here and you're not saved this morning, boy, you could call on Christ today. You could raise your hand and we'd be happy to let somebody open a Bible and show you how to be saved. I'm going to get out of the way, but I'm going to say this. Boy, don't let this opportunity pass. Don't let it pass. Preacher.
All right, let's just remain standing for a minute before we go home today. Our heads are bowed and eyes are closed, if you would. Maybe everything's right this morning between you and the Savior. If you're on praying terms with the Lord right now, then pray that the Lord will have his way in someone's heart here today. If there's something with you that needs to be made right today, the message was, like the preacher said, very clear and plain. Plain English. Did it speak to you today? Did it speak to you today? Are you saved? Did it speak to your heart today? Did God have something in that message for you? Maybe something in your life that you need to just ask the Lord to help you with, some sin that you need to confess, something that needs to be made right with God, then this is our opportunity as a church to do this. We thank the Lord when he brings preachers through here and the Spirit of God puts a message on their heart. And this is not in vain this time this morning. This is not just church time this morning. God intended to do something for us today and with us today. So maybe it was for you this morning. Maybe the message had your name on it. And if it did, then let the Lord know you heard him today. Get it right with the Lord. If you want to do it in your seat, you can speak to God right where you are, or you can come here in the front and you can pray down here. That's fine, whatever. But whatever you do, do it with the Lord. Take care of it this morning. Amen. That's all right, hon. Go ahead. And let me ask you this question. Our heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Now, maybe you're here this morning, and if you died today, if you're honest with God, if you died today, you're not sure you'd go to heaven. You're not sure about it. Maybe you're like one of those people the preacher talked about, good people, trying to do their best, trying to take care of their family. There's just one thing missing. You don't know Jesus Christ. Now, that one thing you miss guarantees you an eternity in hell, because without Jesus Christ, there is no heaven. There is no salvation. Being a good husband, providing for your family, trying to be a good mother, those are all commendable things, but that's not how you get to heaven. You get to heaven by coming to Jesus Christ and admitting you're a sinner and trusting Jesus to save you. Now, if you're here this morning and you'd say, I know I need to be saved. I know I do. I've never been saved and I need to. And God spoke to my heart today. Please pray for me. Is there anyone like that here this morning? Just lift your hand up and put it right back down. We're not going to embarrass you. But if you're here this morning, you'd say, I know I'm not saved, but I know I need to be. Please pray for me. Is there someone like that? Just lift your hand and put it right back down. Anyone at all? Say, pray for me this morning. I need Jesus Christ. I know I need to be saved. And I believe the Lord was speaking to me in that message this morning. Here's my hand. Anyone at all? Just slip it right up and put it right back down. All right. Well, if you're going out of this room today and you know you're not saved, friend, you are making a horrible mistake. You're making a horrible mistake, and I hope the Lord will help you to change your mind, and I hope you'll get that fixed. because you're not promised another day. You are not promised that you're going to make it until tomorrow. You are promised that you will stand before God one day and face a judgment. That is guaranteed. But you need Jesus Christ right now. So I hope you'll not make that mistake. Our Father, Lord, we thank you this morning for the message. Lord, you have been very clear and plain with us today. Thank you, Father, for those things that are very near. Thank you that our Savior and His mercy and His kindness are near. Thank you, Lord, that we don't have to climb a mountain to find you. Thank you, Lord, that we didn't have to swim across the sea to get your words. We can hold them in our hands. We did this morning. We held the Scriptures right here in our hand. You brought it to us. We're thankful that the Spirit of God is here this morning. We don't have to cry out and ask you to come down from heaven, Lord. You're here this morning with us. We thank you that our Savior is near. What a blessing, Lord, that mercy is not far away. For any one of us, Lord, at any time that we need it, we just thank you, Lord, for your kindness. Thank you for those arms that are always stretched out toward us, Lord. Father, thank you for Calvary. Thank you, Lord, for our Savior. And Lord, I'm afraid there's some people in this room this morning that are going to walk out of here and make a tragic mistake in their life. They may go home thinking, well, that was a nice service, and they're still lost and on their way to hell. And Lord, I pray that you please would give them repentance, help them to turn around, help them, Lord, to seek your face, help them to trust you, help them to realize what the preacher said this morning is the absolute truth. There is no salvation outside of Jesus Christ. They can't get there by their works. And Lord, I pray you'll help them to understand that. And Lord, do a work in their heart that they might come to know you as their Savior. We thank you, Lord, for the time together this morning. We pray you'll do a work in our hearts, Lord. I thank you for those this morning, Lord, to whom you've spoken this message. Thank you for speaking to me, Lord. Lord, we just pray that you'll have your way in this church throughout this week, tonight, and the rest of these meetings, Lord. We pray that you please will just be with us and bless the services, Lord. May souls be saved. May this church be encouraged and strengthened and reproved, rebuked, whatever we need to be, Lord. We pray you'll do it. You'll do that, Lord. And Father, may you be glorified in all of these things. We thank you and praise you, Lord, this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. All right, folks, thank you tonight at 6 o'clock. We'll be right back here together, and hope you'll be faithful to be here. God bless you. We're dismissed.